It is not often that poetry makes the newspapers, or the world of poetry for that matter, but the temporary closure of a tell-all muckraking website that claims that some poetry contests are rigged in favor of the judges' students, friends, even their lovers, has raised the hackles of many poets. The website is Foetry.com, which unexpectedly shut down this week after the name of its webmaster was revealed on a rival site. Foetry.com has since reopened, signaling that the dispute is far from over. Joining us to help us sort all this out is Edward Wyatt, a reporter for the New York Times who covers the publishing world, had an article about this in today's paper, and he joins us from his office at the New York Times. Good to speak with you.
Hi, thank you.
And we also want to hear from you listeners if you've ever judged a poetry contest, if you're a poet who's felt slighted by the selection process, give us a phone call, 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. Our email address is totn@npr.org. And to begin with, we have to talk about, I guess, Edward Wyatt, the significance of these contests that this is really all about.
Well, the contests have become very significant in the poetry world because it's the main route to getting a book of poetry published these days. Book buyers generally aren't much interested in buying a lot of poetry, and so as a result, and as a way to kind of weed out or find the best poetry out there, a lot of presses hold contests, which usually have an entry fee, with the prize being having their book published.
And the entry fees, per entry, they're not that much, but I guess if enough poets submit entries, this can add up to real money.
$20 to $25 entry fee is typical, and if you get several hundred or even 1,000 entries, that will much defray the cost of publishing a few thousand copies of a new volume, yes.
And how many of these are we talking about?
Of contests?
Mm-hmm.
I would say that there are several dozen contests that run around the country every year. Some of them have multiple contests per year. One in the fall and one in the spring.
Now, this site, Foetry.com, this started alleging that these contests were, in fact, fixed.
Yes, the criticism came that, it was pointed very specifically at people who managed some of these contests and going back and naming the winners and trying to track their relationships with some of the people who managed the contests or with the judges and concluding that one was a student of another, or one studied with another, or that there were some ties of institution or personal ties between them, and thereby implying that there was something nefarious going on because the judges were only picking the people that they knew.
And this this site, Foetry.com, it was run anonymously, and then it turned out a rival site sort of outed the webmaster, and it turns out to be a man named Alan Cordell. Who is he?
Well, he is the husband of a poet who has entered some of these contests, who won one of them at one time, one of the same contests that has come for criticism on his site. He said that his wife was against it from the beginning, him doing it, but that he was pained by seeing her submit to so many contests and then seeing the winners be people who were connected somehow to the judge. He was unmasked, as it were, by people who he has offended in some of his assertions, who used some of the same techniques that he used in trying to root out his identity and gain access to public records, which eventually showed who had been maintaining his website.
And that rival website, Who Is Foetry, a blog, as you say, they were using some of the same techniques. Indeed, they are still anonymous, too.
They still are. I wasn't able to find out who they are. The people at Foetry have made claims about who it is, and those people have denied it. Why there's all this anonymity among poets, I don't think being a poet is that terrible a profession that you shouldn't be revealed publicly or be afraid to proclaim it in the town square. A lot of what goes on the internet is kind of anonymous bashing of people, and it seems that for whatever reason, a lot of the people here didn't want others to know who they were.
Yeah, and even the people who were posting on these blogs and responding were using pseudonyms themselves. And this is a small world, relatively, poetry. It didn't really take long for people to figure out who was who.
No, it didn't. And I mean, the fact that it's a small world is what some of the people, including Mr. Cordell, the originator of Foetry, gave as the reason for wanting to remain anonymous, because he didn't want to endanger the ability of the people who he knew or who supported his views from being able to make a living, because it's not easy to make a living as a poet.
We're talking with Edward Wyatt, a reporter for the New York Times, about a story he wrote in today's paper about a dust-up in the world of poetry. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And I have to ask you this. What do you make of Foetry.com's allegations? Do you think that this is there's some basis to this, or that these are just coincidences?
Well, I think they have documented a number of cases of contests where there are ties between judges and people who won. I would think that in some of them that maybe there was something going on that could have used a little more light shone on it. I don't think in every case that's the thing. I mean, if a judge went to a particular college or an MFA program, and it turns out that the winner did too, does that mean that they were chosen because of that? No. I mean, that a lot of poets go through the same graduate writing programs shouldn't be a surprise. A lot of Harvard surgeons hire Harvard medical students as their interns. A lot of Supreme Court justices who went to a certain school hire clerks from that school. So that doesn't mean that those people aren't qualified simply because they have similar credentials.
Let's get a caller on the line, and let's go to Alan in Portland, Oregon.
Hi there.
Hi.
Thanks for having me on the show.
Go ahead.
I'm the founder of Foetry.com, and I did not know that this was going to be the subject of Talk of the Nation today, but I'm a regular listener.
Oh, well, thank you for that. This is Alan Cordell, then.
Yes, thank you.
Okay.
I wanted to say, if I could follow up on Mr. Wyatt's point.
Sure.
That, when contests are held by corporations such as Pepsi and you screw off the bottle cap, or if you are playing the McDonald's Monopoly game, employees are never allowed to win. And students should not be allowed to enter the contest from the places where they graduated. And they certainly shouldn't be allowed to enter contests where they are friends with the judge or studied with the judge.
And you think this system is rife with corruption?
I do. I think there's some major, major problems, and it's still going on. I just uncovered one about a week before I shut down the site. With the Vassar Miller Prize, it was just won by a person who went to school with the editor of the series and also was a graduate of the sponsoring institution. They're still doing it. My site was up for a year, and apparently they just believe that what they're doing is okay and acceptable, and it's not.
And it has been mentioned that your wife, also a poet, did win one of these contests.
Yes, she did. And that's been a really awkward thing for me, because she won that contest fairly. She did not know the screener, who was Ben Ramke, who teaches at Denver, and she did not know the judge, Dave Smith, and I don't know where he is, what his affiliation is.
Mm-hmm.
She knew neither person. She won on her own merits. But unfortunately, the Georgia competition, which is the one she won, has been one of the biggest offenders over and over again. And in fact, it's the one where Ben Ramke and Jory Graham and her husband, Peter Sachs, all colluded to have Jory Graham select Peter Graham's book.
I do have to ask, and I guess this is the awkward point, when your wife wins, it's fair, and when anybody else wins, it's corrupt?
No, that's not true either. The problem was that, and I missed part of the show, but the problem was they never revealed who the final judge was with the Georgia competition. So people were winning, but we didn't know who had selected the book. So when I filed the open records request, it became obvious that there were lots and lots of conflicts of interest.
And clearly that this is not going away, this story. Edward Wyatt, this is going to continue?
Well, it seems that it will, as long as there are poetry contests and And I think it makes sense to have poets judge those contests. And so inevitably there will be questions raised about conflicts between them and the people who they choose as winners.
Well, Alan Cordell, thanks very much for the phone call. We appreciate it. And Edward Wyatt, thank you for your time today.
Okay, thank you.
Edward Wyatt, a reporter for the New York Times who covers the world of publishing, and he joined us from his office at the newspaper. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Cownan.